Text or WhatsApp your view to Greg on 086 60 25,000.
Thank you very much to Senator Eileen Flynn, Senator Niall Blaney and Christy Galligan. We've had a great reaction, as always. And by great, I mean in terms of numbers. So that's very much appreciated. Fair play to Senator Flynn showing more loyalty to Micheál Martin than a minority in Fianna Fáil waiting in the long grass to remove him. Yes, he made a dog's dinner of a third-tier election, but most Fianna Fáilers realise that he is still the best within their ranks to lead them. He's built their representation up from 20 to 48, almost 150% increase, and has been the most popular of all leaders in most polls until now. Not sure if he wants to fight a fifth general election when he will be 69. Ask Eileen Flynn about the 10-year-old who was raped by someone who wasn't supposed to be here. Spoiled my vote, proud of it, not racist or far right, of course. And as I said earlier on, open up your newspapers, look at the court reports. I want people to be aghast by anyone who is abusing, assaulting our children now or historically, not just if they're supposed to be here or not or where they're from. There seems to be sort of no commentary at all about the huge rate of child sexual abuse images being shared around the country. I would really, really love people who are very interested, and rightly so, in instances involving children to be as angry right across the board. Call out their friends or whatever they might do as well, because so much of it's going on. Yes, there's a small percentage by people who have been deported and shouldn't be here, but right across the board, check out the websites, check out the newspapers. It's every single day, and all children are so important. My daughter and my grandson, both highly educated, went to the polling station with the intention of voting, but in there, they just couldn't vote for either candidate and they spoiled their votes. Tell Senator Flynn far too many are coming into the country but don't want to work here just to get all the benefits. Niall Blaney, the whole country knows the presidential election was a joke. I think the presidential election, whether it was about electing the president or not, which of course is what it's about, I thought it was a very important election in terms of politics, generally speaking, the direction of this country, where we might be going. It was, of course, about electing Catherine Connolly, president-elect, and we wish her all the success. And I do think she will actually be recorded in history as a good president. But it became greater than that. It had more meaning than that as well. So I don't think it can't. I don't think it can or should be ignored. Good morning, Greg, says a listener. I'm disappointed with the amount of spoiled votes that were ruined in the presidential election. How very childish of them voters. As a nation, we've had to fight for our votes because of religion, property, gender and age. I, as an Irish citizen, respect my democratic right to vote. And, as I said, I'm disappointed and disgusted with the amount of spoiled votes. That comes in from Rosaline. But Rosaline, people who spoiled their votes believe they were exercising their democratic right. They didn't feel there was someone to vote for. They wanted their voice heard and democratically went in, because that fight for democracy was won for them too. They did vote. I mean, they didn't vote for someone that's on the ballot, but they voted. But I respect your opinion greatly as well. And for many people, you are correct. Another, the only reason Connolly got the highest votes ever is because there was only two in the race, where in another election you would have more candidates. So in very, very simple English, people had no other person to elect, as Humphreys was not for everyone. And bring in her connections to the Orange Order, which I would have thought would have been advantageous, but maybe I'm naive. Did Niall get a knock on the head taking down all them Jim Gavin posters? A simple Google search will tell you all the state and official visits attended or hosted by Michael D. Higgins, including the first ever state visit to the UK. Regarding spoiled votes, the increase can be attributed to people who do what Twitter tells them to. I'm not sure what the daily Twitter usage is, but I suppose what you're saying is social media. I'm not going, I get where you're coming from. Only having two options to vote will annoy those unrepresented. Just more candidates next time. Another most were delighted with Connolly, and more and more coming in. Councillor Paul Canning, the Kirloch of Donegal County Council, says they were willing to meet potential candidates for the presidential election, but I needed five independents to come forward and I couldn't get five. And I did say this in fairness, that Fianna Fáil were prepared to facilitate that meeting, and as Fianna Fáil's Paul Canning pointed out that was the case. I believe at one point there were five, and then there were four. Does the panel agree with Dailish Fine Gael Councillor that those who sport their vote shouldn't be entitled to state benefits? I didn't hear that. Re-presidential election, Maria Steeney's seeking nominations went by both routes with county councils and the Oireachtas and was turned down by both. She also contacted our own Donegal County Council, who shamefully refused her a hearing. Donegal County Council have become very woke this past few years. Why is that? What happened? A complete shambles, a complete mess. Another, what does Niall think about Micheál Martin and Simon Harris's turnaround on immigration? He actually did reference that. Voted Fianna Fáil all my life, says a listener, but never again will I vote for them at a national level. On the issue of asylum, both Micheál Martin and Simon Harris stated yesterday that up to 80% of asylum seekers in IPASS centres are not genuine. So will they take action now and deport them? Asked the panel Greg. That came in a little bit late there. It's about the deportation system. Asking people to deport themselves is a big ask, isn't it? And that seems to be the case at the moment. Yes, there's been a couple of chartered flights, which the press were invited to. They had a photographer there to take the pictures. The pictures were out from the various state bodies within minutes of them being deported. But that was just to say, look, we're doing something. It's not in a number that's going to please most. Right. Thanks very much for all of your comments coming in so far. Keep them coming in. The conversation doesn't stop there. Loads to come in the next wee while, but first let's take a break to allow you to play the bingo today. Good luck. Rula Bula on Highland Radio every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Its presenter is Colm Furter. Imagine why, Colm.
Imagine why.
Congratulations to you.
Oh, thanks a lot, Craig.
Means a lot. Because this week you won Clargelga Neblania.
Mm-hmm. Neblania, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we're working through this. And is that the award or is that the category or what?
The category was at the top programme as Gaeilge on commercial radio. So you'd have all the local stations, and News Talk were on the shortlist this year as well. And I'm delighted. It's the station now that got nominated, and rightly so, because it's a team effort.
Let's hold on you a second, right? Let's stuff the grace for a moment.
No. Honestly, I couldn't stand in a field and broadcast without, you know, you need infrastructure and you need the team effort there.
Of
I mean, Canis there helps me, and Joe Dex and Oisin, and Carolyn's in touch with me a few
times. Talk to me about
the
show, the you know, what you wanted to be, what it's become, in your words.
Yeah. I wanted my programme to be kind of on the same level as anything on the radio. And I set out principles to that end. Not when I started out at first, because I was a total greenhorn mm-hmm. in the industry and I had no experience. My Irish wouldn't have been that strong either. Like, I'm conversant now, enough to get by at this stage, you know. But at the start, it was a very steep learning curve. I had to get kind of conversant with the architecture, you know, and be able to use the desk and all the rest of it. But, you know, after a while, Linda had a more of a vision because she said, I remember 14 years ago when I came in here first, she said that she'd like to develop the programme and so on and so forth. And but as a principal, I kind of make sure that it's live, that there's somebody in live every week to create atmosphere. I have a platform. I feel privileged because there's a platform here that I can use for people to showcase their talents, to speak the couple of focal, and to show that it's a living language and that it's accessible to everybody.
But you're not snooty about it. I mean, there's sometimes a mix of those that can, those that are trying, those that can't. It's inclusive in that regard. I mean, obviously, fundamentally, it's an Irish language programme, but you're not snooty about it.
Exactly. That's the whole point of it. It's a broad church. Mm. Everybody starts somewhere. I mean, 20 years ago, had you told me I would be sitting here talking about a national award that I got for broadcasting as Gaeilge, I would have thought you were off your rocker.
Because of the standard of Irish, putting the radio side of it to one side?
How so?
Your standard of Irish at that point?
My standard of Irish. I mean, I wouldn't have walked into the studio for $1 million. Mm, you know, I would have been too nervous. I wouldn't have had any experience at Hull with
but does that not give you then an authentic understanding then, if you are about promoting the language and taking people with you, right? There's an authenticity to that because you've been on your own journey yourself.
I would have fallen into this by accident. I don't see myself as a language activist at all. It's a huge bonus maybe that there's that aspect to it, that it's nuanced, there's something different involved, that there's some kind of it's not even a minority now, I wouldn't say. Like, there's such a growth in the Irish language, and even according to the census figures, there's up to 50% maybe that say they're conservative, that they can have a conversation at some level. So I'm quite proud of it. Obviously, I'm very proud of it, that it's what it's achieved and that it's taken off. But it comes back to the vision. I think there are two aspects there. There's the vision, and Linda had the vision, in fairness to her.
Linda McGraw, she's the head of programming, by the way, just for those who wouldn't know, but go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, and then there's a creativity, but there's no creativity without vision, and the vision comes first. And once that's put into place, then the jigsaw kind of comes together. But there'd be no programme without people who are willing to come in, spend their evening in here, getting ready, preparing stuff, making sure that they're able to, they have an authority over what they're going to do on the show. There's so many teachers that come in after work and with schools. And
it's amazing what they do, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's voluntary work, and they're in teacher mode there. Like, there's aspects of the job and the role that I understand there in terms of getting kids ready and making sure they're in straight lines and all the rest of it. So, but anybody that comes in here, they're doing it voluntarily, and you know, hats off to them. But there's a huge groundswell there for the Irish language, and people love it. They understand it. I think the heritage in Donegal comes into play as well. You had Shani down from Falcara,
Shani O'Brien.
Yeah, and Paula there won an award. Mm. Paula Harvey last week for the. So people understand heritage in Donegal, and they want to be part of it. And the language definitely comes.
I
under
think
that
there's a
umbrella.
Great appetite too amongst young people, I think it becomes our responsibility to try and harness that, or to encourage it, or bring it through into their adulthood.
Yeah, but would you find that there's more? You know, in your dealings with people and guests, would you find that there's much of a groundswell now, or there's much interest
in the
Irish?
I think most people that come in here would have a love of the language and have some of the language, which is why I'm going to try and learn at some point.
Oh, you'd have a smattering anyway, would you not?
Bits and bobs, but you know yourself, I would like to... When I do this job, one of the things that I see as a personal failure is not being able to facilitate. Now, you obviously have to be inclusive, so you couldn't do the whole show in Irish or what have you. And this is where Raida na Gaeltacht, they do a fantastic job in that space as well. And I do know there's people switch between the two. Right. But I just think I would be more fulfilled. I don't even know I have the time for it now to sort of do it before I stop doing radio or whatever it happens. But I would love to have at least spent part of my career to be able to actually facilitate Irish on this A Current Affairs show. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Yeah, whenever I try to interview anybody in English, I find it difficult, to be honest with you. I'm also being nervous of coming in and presenting a show as Gaelic in my second language. You know, there
is
are
it
people,
your second language?
It is,
definitively,
yeah. I wouldn't have had any Irish now.
In terms of the programme itself, I mean, I don't know if you ever discussed doing it live, pre-recorded. There's something about live radio. I think it's very hard to match. I like the organised chaos of it. Like, when there's 100 people in here, that's when I love it.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
the more
it's a buzz,
there's in
yeah.
here, the better, as far as I'm concerned. It's always been my sort of philosophy. You know, I don't do scripts. I prep what I need to prep, but I like what's coming next, you know, to be a bit of a surprise.
Well, that's it. Yeah, Carol Pilkington. Ricky Gervais had a rule that he would never meet Carol Pilkington during the week. He would only meet him the day of the show and see what came out.
Well,
then,
people are weird because I won't speak during outbreaks. So, you know, because you something interesting might be said and it's very hard to revisit it. So if someone comes in, I'll pass the time of day, right? But I don't want to talk about what we're going to talk about.
You can't replicate it.
No.
You're pretending to laugh then, and then that comes across as well, yeah.
So take us to awards night then. It was in Belfast, was it?
It was in Belfast in City Hall. It was a peculiar event because there's a kind of a juxtaposition between what is a kind of a shrine to the Empire, the British Empire, and then we were all in speaking Irish, and there was Irish music going. Catherine Connolly was there. Gerry Adams was there. There were all kinds of dignitaries. Dara Cailleary, the Aristarch and Gilticht, he was there. And, you know, it's a broad church, though, and it's inclusive, as is my programme. And, you know, there was a cross-section of people there. I went down on the Wednesday evening. I was dreading it, to be honest with you, because, it's not just a matter of parachuting in, like you have to get there and park.
Yeah.
And there were two accidents and there was tailbacks and we didn't get stopping for somebody who was hungry. Ah, and then you're thinking, if I get picked, if I don't get picked, I'm going to be
really long journey home.
It's going to be boring. Yeah. If I do get picked, I'm going to have to get up and speak in front of all these people and that's kind of stressful. So it's between boring and stressful.
Yeah.
But certain amount of euphoria. That's well worn off. Well, it's wearing off now as I prepare next week's programme. You know,
yeah, I know what you mean. It's nice though. And you know, like, what we do here is for all our own reasons. You know, you don't do it for money as such. There's an opportunity here. I don't do it for any ego or what have you. Obviously, I have to pay the bills and stuff, but I do it because I want to do it. And I think we have a role, an important role as part of the community as well as, you know, being a business and listeners, you know, that sort of way.
But yep.
I mean, Oisin, obviously, he got Sports Person of the Year this year at the National Awards. Our election coverage received an award as well. And now you've picked this one up. You know, we're kind of unassuming, but we've done all right, haven't we?
We've done great. Yeah, the figures as well, like 79% the last time I checked of the population listen daily.
I know. And they don't switch off when they switch on, which
is
fantastic.
But it's mad.
Yeah.
When you think of it, it's from babies to, you know, old people. And that's 4 out of every 5 are listening every day.
All right, so what's on the show this week? Have you decided?
I'll be having some of the competitors from the competitions like the Euritus, but I'm keeping a close eye on the who's shaking it up in Belfast now this weekend. And yeah, there's nothing planned per se apart
excellent,
from that.
Excellent. So. But no one will know. Yeah. Listen, Colm, congratulations. It's a wonderful achievement, especially because you broadcast in the medium of Irish as well. So I think it's particularly special for us, but also through you and through your work with Linda, the head of programming and stuff.
Brilliant.
So well done. And it's a lovely award as well.
It is a nice award.
A bit of class to it, isn't there?
Yeah, award for Tommy Rosny helps me every week.
Does he?
He's on the air every Wednesday, 8 until midnight. It's 4 hours. And he comes in an hour and a half early and helps me with set the thing up and Facebook.
He's technically good, isn't he?
Well, you know what?
He's all over it.
But he's at it so long. Like, you listen, you know, I listen to him because he knows the business and he knows his own audience and he knows how to engage with people. And
he's good, Tommy. Yeah,
he is. But it was a special word for Tommy because he's a massive help. He really is.
Well done. All right. Thanks very much indeed. Maybe he might help you carry the chairs out at the end of the show.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's
not
nobody brings the chairs in for me before the show.
No, Colin, that's not how it works.
And I got a wrap over milk as well. Somebody
helped me. You do whatever you want with milk, but just carry the blooming chairs out because I'm doing it on a Thursday.
And who
morning.
Keeps changing the microphones around?
That's Monday night session. All right, listen, thanks very much,
Brilliant.
Colin. Congratulations
Cheers.
Again. Welcome. So DLDC Business Showcase Week, which has been running all week, is a special event dedicated to recognising and promoting Donegal's newest businesses. Now, all week long, we've been putting the spotlight on the unique entrepreneurial spirit that thrives right here in Donegal in partnership with DLDC. And we've had an amazing mix of different businesses and businesses in the early stages, but businesses that have been formed or are thriving or both due to the support of DLDC. And my two guests in studio with me today are Nicola Garvey. Hi, Nicola.
Hi, Craig.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Are we all relaxed? Are we chilled? Oh, are we good? We're just going to have a chit-chat?
Yeah.
Okay,
lovely.
Good stuff. Eileen Sinclair's with us as well. Hi, Eileen.
Hello.
Lovely to have you with us. How are you keeping?
Good, thank you.
Thanks so much for chatting up and for calling up and having a chat to us. Nicola, can I start with you, if that's all right, and tell us a little bit about your business?
So, hi, Craig. Good morning. Thanks for having me. I'm Nicola Garvey, and I'm based over in Kilcar in southwest Donegal. And I run Tourist Caha, my wee tourism business, and I provide chauffeur-guided tours around southwest Donegal.
What a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Because I'm not great at organising things myself,
mm-hmm.
so sometimes it's nice to have someone to make sure you don't miss out. So
yeah.
you will sort of find out from your clients what they want to see and sort of presume tailor, or do you have a set route and you have the usual hotspots or what?
Yeah, well, not really. So basically you can contact me by email and usually we'll be emailing back and forward. So it's usually a bespoke tour that's organised. So I deal with a nice relaxed tour around some of the places maybe that you wouldn't get to see in a bigger coach. So I operate small tours. I accommodate 8 people usually. So lots of families, friends, and multi-generational families usually take my tours. Yeah, so what happens is then I get a grasp of what they actually like to do on their tours. So it's a combination
of. So you kind of get
nice
to know
scenery.
Them first. And
absolutely.
There's a relationship mm-hmm. formed there. So
yeah,
you ensure that they
very
leave.
Important, yeah.
Do you find then, how long have you been in business now?
So April this year, okay. I started out, yeah. So
theoretically then, Nicola, you know, you could have people that will revisit. They've established already that rapport with you,
mm-hmm.
you know where they've been, and you can say, well, let's tease this out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, that's great. So usually what happens is they book the tour and usually the feedback afterwards of spending the day with me is, you know, that they'll take my brochure and they'll pass it on
lovely.
When they go home. So it's brilliant. Good, yeah. So I'm getting in tours for next year already are coming in. So delighted with that, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And in terms of, say, for instance, how they get into the region, so would you meet them at an airport or do you wait till they arrive here or does it depend on the client or what?
Yeah, Craig, that's part of my service as well. So I do transfers and I'll accommodate. So I'll pick if they're coming into Donegal Airport, Dublin, Belfast, Knock, anywhere.
Don't tell me you help them organise accommodation.
No,
okay,
I don't.
Say,
yeah.
Well, they're getting on the plane and picking them up from their house.
Yeah,
you wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah. So
and you do it all in a Volkswagen Transporter. Does it have a name?
Cara.
I knew it's gonna have a name.
I'm one of those people. Yeah, yeah. So Cara. So I decided I would give her a name and she's my friend and she's a friend to everybody. So she's part of my journey and everybody's journey.
It
so.
All depends on the clients, but is there a wow moment that you've spotted on the tours, you know, of the various places that you go to?
Yeah, there's so many,
isn't
you know,
it?
Yeah, where we go and it's all about the connections with the people as well and the connections with place. So they love the natural scenery and stuff like that. But off the top of my head, I had 2 brothers that came back and their great-grandfather was from Kilcar,
right.
where I live. That was just a lovely moment, so it was. And I had a lady came back. She'd been here 40 years ago with her husband and he'd passed away. So we spent the day. She booked me exclusively for 2 days.
So you were her travel buddy
absolutely.
As much as anything.
Yeah, and that was lovely. And it was lovely to be part of that memory with her as well. Yeah. And she spoke about, you know, her time when she was in Donegal with her late husband.
So that was, for her, a very important part
absolutely.
Of her life. It's almost like, I don't know what the correct phraseology is, but you see, and of course we focus an awful lot on, you know, the sleeve leads and this, that, and gone, right? But, you know, if I were coming here from, I would love to be taken into our draw or something, and have a cup of tea or, you know, over those beautiful roads or whatever. Okay, I'll come back to you. it's a wonderful business, Tourist Caha. So if you want to spread the word out to people that are out there, ear to ear, Eileen Sinclair, talk to me a little about ear to ear.
Ear, yes.
Sorry, why am I putting 2 ear in there? It's not even written in front of me.
I know.
I was just thinking how I could lie beside somebody, ear to ear. Right, ear.
Yeah,
go on,
Eileen. Hello, I'm Eileen. Hello, everybody. Hello, Greg. I retired last year from nursing, and I now run a mobile ear care service based in Donegal Town. It's quite a specialist role, looking after people's ears. It means, you know, checking ears, spotting for problems, and most often earwax removal.
Yeah, and so, do you go into people's homes or do they come to
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do. I go to people's homes that aren't able to come to clinics for some, any reason.
Which is actually fantastic, because our hearing is one of our most important senses, isn't it? Especially if we've had full use of it all of our lives.
Yeah. Well, we're all used to getting our eyes checked and our teeth checked and our feet checked and our blood pressure checked, but sometimes, you know, we don't think about our ears.
Yeah. So if you walked into my house and I had a cotton bud and I was jamming it into my ear, what would you do to
me? Oh, gosh. Oh, that's
up to and including violence.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happened. This is how I started this business. Is my daughter was on the couch and she had a camera in her ear, and oh gosh, I nearly died. Like, because you know the eardrum is so delicate.
Yeah,
and it's only an inch away from the outside of your ear. Well, most people, some people are closer. Like so. Oh, I just cringed when I saw it. So that gave me the idea.
But you've got so much experience in an education. It would have been awful if it was lost to retirement, because you've studied in Ireland and practiced in Ireland and studied in Britain as well.
Yeah.
Talk to me a bit about your background.
Well, my last 10 years before I retired last September was I was an eye nurse in Sligo, ophthalmology. And the 10 years before that, I was a head and neck nurse in Altnagelvin.
But at what point, because I've not heard of people that do what you do, I'm not saying they don't exist, right? It doesn't really happen much. At what point did you think that, I mean, obviously there's a business element to it as well, but also the fact that you can meet people that won't ordinarily interact with an audiologist. So when did you sort of think this, I might approach DLDC here and see if this is or what kind of a business model this is, or was that all clear to you already?
No, the idea prompted me with my daughter sitting on the sofa.
Oh, was that?
And then my 10 years experience in head and neck, and I was thinking of what could I do where I'd be a sole practitioner as a business. It all just went from there. I did approach DLDC, Pauline Cannon, and I was on the Ambition programme as well. So they all helped me, the business end of things. For being a nurse, like, for 50 years, you wouldn't be involved in business at all.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have had a clue. So they were brilliant.
How long have you been doing this actively now, Eileen, in terms of ear?
Well, I did all my training about 2 years, 18 months, 2 years. I went over to London and I did a microsuction earwax removal course, but I didn't want to stop there because I thought, well, if I remove wax from somebody's ear and I look in their ear, and if I didn't know, there could be something in their ear that needs addressing.
Yeah.
And so I was nervous about that. So I went to Rotherham, to an ear care clinic in Rotherham, which is a centre of excellence for ear care. I went there and I did postgraduate higher diploma in ear health.
Yeah.
So that helps me with people when they come in to have their earwax removed. I can spot things that maybe would be out of the ordinary or shouldn't be
that
there.
Need maybe, by the way, I've done that, there might be something else to refer them effectively.
Say if you say if I removed wax from somebody's ear and behind that plug of wax was what looked like an infection, well then the person would go to their GP and for a further assessment and specialist care.
If I'm correct, creating copious amounts of earwax can be a sign of good ear health, can't it? It's how we manage it that can be the problem.
It's how you manage it.
I mean, obviously, providing it's not sort of infection related, right?
Yeah. Well, our ears clean themselves, so we don't have to be poking about.
So when it starts to be visualized, it's been pushed out naturally. It's the ear working.
It's a migration process, and it pushes out itself. You're right.
Yeah.
And but
did you know that, Nicola?
No. Fascinating.
It literally will. That's it, getting out of the ear.
So no poking around in your ears. So Well, earwax is good. Everybody thinks their ears are dirty.
Yes.
If they see wax in their ears, they think it's dirty, but it's not dirty. It's good.
Yeah.
Wax is good.
And
wax.
I don't... Obviously, go on. Yeah. We've got on the wax train. Come on, Ireland.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. No, it's okay.
We talk about everything here. So what else do you say about wax?
Well, wax is good and it lubricates your ear and cleans your ear. And it also helps... to prevent dust and
catches foreign bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
I obviously focused instantly on the hearing, but I suppose as well, maybe if it's an older person or not, balance is in there as well, isn't it?
Yeah. I was talking about your tours. A lady came to me who's a hiker, and she was up the hills one day. Well, she probably shouldn't have been up the hills on her own, but she was up the hills and she felt dizzy.
Yeah.
And when she came down off the mountain, then. She rang me and looked at her ears, and yes, she did have wax. So the wax was removed, but that dizziness did disappear.
Yeah,
but it's not always about wax. You know, wax is just the first thing you think of, and take that away. But you might need to go to your GP or refer to your audiologist.
So it might have been the change in pressure in her ears and fluid.
Yeah.
Are you at the point yet in terms of the age of the business where that you're going back to people? So in other words, you're the in-house ear queen.
Yeah, I'm just getting my second time round people now.
Yeah, I was thinking.
But so until you get the person around the second time, you don't really know what their build-up is. So you don't know how often they need to come to you. So you generally say every year. But see, people that have hearing aids, they should be getting their ears checked for wax every 6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I think.
And what about babies and toddlers and what have you?
No, I'm not paediatric trained.
No, that is a specific discipline.
I'm adults only,
Okay, brilliant. Yeah. And how are you getting the message out there?
Well,
other than
the LDC and
like
the Ambition Programme were great because I got mentorship in that for digital advertising, but I didn't really expand on it too good.
But it's a work in progress. We're new, right? Okay.
I'm kind of at a standstill, but
you'll be okay. Well, listen, you've got a chase up now. Yeah. Nicola, how do you reach your clients? Because obviously, you know, it's unlike, but I actually could see some internal tourism here, not actually just internal in the country, but also even in the county, Nicola. But I mean, I presume a lot of your trade will be foreign visitors, right?
Absolutely.
So how?
Yeah, so I have a website. I get a lot of referrals. So, and I have a website. It's www.touristcarha.ie. You can email me as well. So that's mainly how I get a lot of my my work comes in that way. Mm. Yes.
And it must be exciting now, looking forward to your first full year.
Yes, I can't wait. You know, I'm still busy. I'm organised a wee tour down to Newgrange now in the middle of November. So I'm looking forward to doing that. I've still a lot of work to do, you know, in terms of adding to my itinerary and stuff like that, you know. So I'm going to be kept busy. But yeah, super excited about the summer again and welcoming visitors.
The whole idea, the whole success and what everyone in the tourism is trying to do is to widen out those shoulders and have it all
absolutely
year round, you know.
Yeah,
why not? But obviously, people are more inclined to travel in certain months, but there is still people about, you know.
Yeah, October now is busy for me. So it was September, October was very busy. So it was good, yeah. I had a good summer. I done better than I thought I was going to do initially.
Is Cara going to get a little friend?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, you never know. You never know.
Okay, brilliant stuff. And Eileen, how can people contact Ear?
Well, they can text her phone and that number is 087-494-5501 or Facebook on Ear.
And are you primarily in the Donegal town and hinterlands?
Yeah. But the thing is about my clinics, like my insurance covers me anywhere. Like I could do it in the top of Errigal, but it can be pop-up clinics anywhere. You know, say
I
a health fair.
I can just see now Tourist Cartha driving you to the bottom of Errigal and she'll wait.
Absolutely.
Right, okay. And in terms of specific inquiries, Eileen, that you might get saying In terms of tinnitus or tinnitus, however. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of causes and what have you. Will you go in and do your work and see if that relieves it, or do you see tinnitus in a separate
no,
space?
No, I don't deal with tinnitus at all. That would be very specialist for audiology or ENT. But sometimes when I do take out the wax, that buzzing in their ears can disappear
because it's
you let it settle for 48 hours, and if it doesn't, then they need to go further for treatment, because there's many reasons for tinnitus, and finding the reason, you can't really target the treatment unless you know what the reason is.
But I think sometimes too, because there's a little bit of uncertainty about its origins, you eliminate the obvious first, don't you?
Yeah.
So in other words, make sure your ears are clear and what have you, and then you can take it from there.
Yeah.
So these are two brilliant businesses supported by DLDC, Ear from Eileen. And what can you do to support a business? Well, you can go onto their social media and share that information out. It's a fantastic resource. As with Nicola, is it Garvey?
Garvey.
I've got gravy written in front of me, Nicola.
Train?
Don't know.
It's Nicola Gravy you've written down.
But I
bluffed it correct. Nicola Garvey. So again, too, you know, spread the message out to your friends and family all over the world. And I love that story of the, for whatever her own personal reasons, that lady being able to spend the day with you and retrace old steps.
Absolutely.
Even in the absence of the person.
It was a very special day.
She used to trape them with. Thanks so much, Nicola. Continued success.
Thank
Remind
you.
Us once again of the socials.
So I'm on Facebook, Turris Cara, Instagram, Turris Cara, LinkedIn, and I've recently popped on there to TikTok. So I'm having a bit of fun there, so bear with me there. So just navigating that.
Eileen's a wee bit behind you now. I'm not sure Eileen's on TikTok yet, right? But she's on Facebook.
I'll do a masterclass with you.
I think you're a lost cause. But just mention Halloween tonight, just with the noises and the parties and the loud music, just to, for everybody to protect their ears, especially the little children's ears, and keep them warm. The ears don't like cold. Put their hats on and just to stand back from the source of fireworks, because it can be very dangerous. Yeah. And
enjoy your earwax if it's just regularly normal, but clean it out correctly. And if you're down around wherever you are, check out Ear, and Eileen might be able to help you out there. I'm sure she will. Eileen and Nicola, the best of luck with your businesses going
forward. Thank you very much for having us.
I think the one thing that's happened this week is that they're all brilliant. Do you know what I mean? Yours is brilliant, and your retirement's going crap. Eileen, it's going very positive, right? But we need to look at the definition of retirement. It's not studying and continuing to work.
But I think too, businesses nowadays, I think the supports that we get from the different organisations around our own county.
Yeah, we're very lucky with that. We both, Pauline Cannon's been really helpful now. She's always there to answer, you know, the questions and point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
All right, well, well done to the two of you.
So thanks for having us.
No, it's our pleasure. It wasn't too bad, was it?
Well, you know, it was good. Skate, thanks very much.
We didn't start off like that.
Are we still online?
Yes, we are.
Sorry, it was a bit bad. We're a bit nervous.
That's shaky, but sure.
But we started shaky.
But thanks for the opportunity.
That's my pleasure. All right, then. Safe on my journey.
All right.
By the way, if you've organised something in your local area, get in touch with me so I can give it a plug, will you? Just I want to support the efforts that you're doing where you're doing it. So if you are in Carn Dona, you're invited to join us this evening from 6 to 9 p.m. for the Halloween Witch Trail. Pick up your map from Visit Carn Dona Tourism Office. There's a costume competition, carved pumpkin competition, and you can pick up your map at the tourist office next door to Deirdre's of the Diamond, and you follow the trail. You find hidden witches around the town and Barrack Hill Park. Return to the tourist office for a trick-or-treat. Prizes for best costume. It's completely free. It's the Carn Dona Halloween Witch Trail. So get along to that. Let's see, where else can we go? What about Dunfanaghy? By the way, anyone travelling from the Creasla side of Dunfanaghy to Falkara and from Falkara direction to Creasla, due to a parade and fireworks, there are going to be delays in Dunfanaghy. Gardaí are advising people to take different routes, I'm told. Now, people will be starting to gather in Dunfanaghy from 6 o'clock. onwards. And the parade there starts at 7. So as I say, I want you, if you've made efforts to organise something in your area, to get it into me so I can get it out there. Because, you know, even though you live specifically in a place, sometimes you don't hear about everything. So as I say, I'd love to use this platform to give you a wee boost if possible. So that's Carn Donagh and Dunfanaghy in the bag. Greg, shout out to Henry Doohan, the original Donegal tour guide, absolute legend when it comes to touring this county, and also for advice on tourism in general with the county. He is one of the go-to men for any guides. Has anyone seen on YouTube that if you invest €250 in an investment that from day one, you can make a lot of money? It shows Simon Harris as one of the investors. Clearly, this is a scam, but watching it, you'd think it was real. I'm just very concerned that people will fall for it. How are they allowed to use AI-generated images of Simon Harris? Well, you can use AI-generated images of absolutely anyone. And I've said before now, AI has got to the point now, even at the basic user level, where some of the content is indistinguishable from the real stuff. I'm not sure Simon Harris might be the best person to take financial advice off of, so maybe they could try somebody else. But they're probably from outside the country. Right, okay, let's take a break.